From KUER News in Salt Lake City, I'm Diane Maggio-Pinto. More tweaks to Utah's medical cannabis law look to clear criminal records for those who've been convicted of offenses related to marijuana use. KUER's John Reed has more on the bill that was introduced in the state Senate yesterday.
It's intended to help those who've been arrested for medicinal use and wouldn't expunge the records of anyone convicted of selling or dealing marijuana. Connor Boyack with the Libertas Institute says he's heard from a number of people who were convicted before voters passed the original ballot initiative in 2018.
It's hard for us to say how many people would qualify under this. We want to open the door so that some people can walk through it. Maybe five will, maybe 500 will.
Despite Utah's law, there are still questions about marijuana's broader legal status. It's classified as a Schedule I drug at the federal level, just as illegal as heroin and ecstasy. But Boyack says that federal law enforcement hasn't arrested anyone in the 33 other states that have legalized it so far. And as long as patients in Utah are using it with a doctor's note, they're in the clear.
We've made sure that there are strong protections, legal protections for patients, so that when they're caught, if they're ever caught, they can be able to say, you know what, I actually kind of have this get out of jail free card.
Boyack says the bill has broad support and hopes to get it passed before the state's program launches next month. John Reed, KUER News.
A bill making its way through the legislature would offer inmates health care treatment to bridge their transition out of jail. The bill that passed during a Senate Business and Labor Committee meeting yesterday would provide Medicaid coverage to certain inmates for up to 30 days before their release and would create a digital pilot substance use and mental health program in county jails. Sponsoring Representative Brad Daw says this would allow inmates a better chance to succeed in the long term.
We need to have that handoff because at the end of the day, what we want is to get these folks back to being contributing members of society.
The bill also includes a refundable tax credit as an incentive for practitioners to work in jails. It now heads to the Senate floor. The small community of Westwater sits on land owned by the Navajo Nation just outside of Blanding. The area is home to around 20 families and doesn't have running water or electricity. But now there's a renewed effort to change that. From KUER's Southeast News Bureau, Kate Gretzinger reports.
The governor's office is leading the effort to bring water and power to Westwater. That's according to Larry Echohawk, who serves as an advisor to the governor. He told a House Appropriations Subcommittee yesterday that he has visited all 8 federally recognized tribes in Utah and suggested this project for funding. He and Representative Phil Lyman from Blanding are asking for $500,000 from the state for the project, which Echohawk called a humanitarian aid proposal.
Efforts have been underway for over 30 years to bring these services into this community. When I visited one of the homes there, 3 generations in one home, these are poor people.
Mike Maurer is with the governor's office. He says they are also seeking funding from the Utah Navajo Trust Fund and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The trust fund is overseen by the state treasurer and contains money from oil and gas extraction on the Navajo Nation. Kate Gretzinger, KUER News.
The Department of Justice and Utah State University have agreed to a set of guidelines following a 3-year investigation into the school's alleged mishandling of sexual assault cases on campus. The DOJ's review came after its Civil Rights Division learned of multiple allegations of student-on-student rape and harassment at the school. Utah State must now comply with a list of requirements, including providing better training for students and employees on policies and federal laws involving sexual harassment. Light pollution is usually associated with big towns and cities, but a new kind of light pollution map shows it's also a problem in rural areas, including this region. The Mountain West News Bureau's Madeline Beck reports.
The map was created by cartographer Tim Wallace with the data visualization company Descartes Labs. Wallace told news outlet CityLab that cities still make the most light, but his map broke it down roughly per person using 2015 data. That method highlighted bright spots over oil and gas operations, suburbs, and even greenhouses. According to John Barentine, that was especially true with big greenhouses for leafy greens and marijuana. Barentine is with the International Dark Sky Association, and he says light pollution has negative effects on wildlife.
Whether they're plants or animals, insects, you name it. It's all across the biological world, which is just a reflection of the fact that our biology on this planet grew up in an environment where for billions of years there were only natural sources of light at night.
But he says simple measures like using blinds for greenhouses could help, and that could preserve the region's iconic night sky for years to come. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Madeline Beck.
And I'm Diane Maggio-Pinto, KUER News.